Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is taken from our gospel reading from John chapter 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when a child is born, that child is born not only into a family, but into a community, a people, a nation. That's where the child belongs, and that's where the child is to have love and security and acceptance. Jesus tells us that if we want to be a part of God's family, we must be born again. If we are to belong in God's kingdom, to live in His love, to receive and enjoy His security and acceptance, we must be born again. But what evidence is there of this rebirth? How can we be assured that we are a part of God's kingdom? Do we get a rebirth certificate? In our gospel reading for today, Jesus gives us the answer. He lets us know that it is our baptism that assures us that we belong to God and that we are a part of His kingdom. To assure ourselves that we belong on earth, we can look at our birth certificate or our adoption papers. These certify our family, our community, our nation. By reading these papers, we know where we belong and to whom we belong. Unfortunately, however, when it comes to being assured that we're a part of God's family, we sometimes tend to look in the wrong places. In Old Testament times, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were the ones who were considered to be belonging to God's family. Nicodemus, the Pharisee to whom Jesus was speaking in today's gospel, understood this. And so he probably assumed that he was already a member of God's family. But Jesus confused Nicodemus when he told him that to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Though Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus was saying, Jesus was letting him know that just ancestry itself is not a guarantee that you are a part of God's family. Another place besides ancestry that people sometimes look to assure themselves that they belong in God's kingdom is to their own efforts, their own decisions, their own commitments, their own actions. Well, the trouble here is that we can never know if we've done enough or well enough. And if we think we have, then we're actually being self-righteous. You see, to be honest, no one, not a single one of us is good enough for God's family. But even though our sinful lives demonstrate that we can't possibly be a part of God's family, we don't have to despair. There is assurance of our belonging to God, assurance that doesn't depend on us. And we'll get to that a little bit more later. There are also people who attempt to assure themselves that they're part of God's family by looking for evidence of God's favor in their worldly possessions and fortunes. A lot of people tend to think that health and wealth and status are signs that they belong to God. They say, well, otherwise, I wouldn't be having all of these wonderful blessings if that didn't show that I've found favor with the God, that I'm a part of his family. But friends, no matter what kind of material blessings that we have been given, they cannot make us certain that God accepts us. And when we think like that, then there is great danger of us being overcome by doubt and unbelief when those things are suddenly gone. When health declines, when wealth is spent, when status is lost, when that happens to us, does that mean then that we can't any longer be a part of God's family? No, not at all. The words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, the words that are often referred to as the gospel in a nutshell, because those words of John 3:16 give us the whole gospel message right there in those few words. Those words let us know that God is the one who has taken the actions necessary to bring us into his kingdom. It's not what we do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to bring us into his kingdom. God became the man Jesus in order to win salvation for the whole world. For that to happen, Jesus himself had to be born into a family, a community, a nation. And what he did for us as true God and true man opens the kingdom of God to all of us. Jesus was lifted up on the cross because of the sin of the world. That sin was like snake venom that infected the entire world, robbing it of life and making it dead and undesirable to God. And just as the snake-bitten Israelites in the desert couldn't escape death by making themselves suddenly unbitten, so the people of our world today cannot escape eternal death by making ourselves unsinful. But Jesus has taken care of that for us. Jesus poured out his blood on the cross as the anti-venom that takes away the sin of the world. And with the poison of sin now gone, the gates of God's kingdom are open to us. And the assurance that that is true, the assurance that the gates of heaven are open, is the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And Jesus tells us, because I live, you will live also. Unlike the bronze serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness for the Israelites to look upon and be healed, Jesus is alive. And his resurrection means that his earthly mission has been accomplished. And now there's life, eternal life. Eternal life for all who put their trust in him as their Savior from sin. The assurance that the words of John 3:16, the words of that gospel in a nutshell, the assurance that those words are for us is found in our baptism. You know, it's one thing to know that the gates of heaven are open and that God is bringing people in. It's quite another thing to know whether the gates of heaven are open for each one of us individually and that God has brought us in. You see, friends, the gospel message is not that God has a family. The gospel message for us is that we are a part of God's family. The gospel message is that God has made each of us a part of his kingdom. And we do indeed then belong to him. In speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, "You must be born again." Well, that new birth that Jesus was talking about comes through baptism. Just as we were born into our earthly families, so we have been reborn into God's family, into his community, as his people, and as a part of his kingdom. Just as our earthly fathers put their names on us in our birth, so our heavenly Father puts his name on us in our baptism. We are adopted as his children. We become co-workers in his kingdom. Your baptism, then, is your assurance that you belong to God's family and that you are in his kingdom. When you were baptized, you were baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That very fact was mentioned this past Friday morning during the funeral service of one of our faithful and longtime members, Robert John Schaefer. And what that means is that when you were baptized, God was doing what he promised to do, forgiving your sins, rescuing you from death and the devil, giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and giving you the promise of eternal life with him. That promise was fulfilled for Robert John this past week, and that promise is there for all of us as well. Because God is faithful to his promises, because he was working those promises through your baptism. Your baptism is your assurance. It's your assurance that you are indeed a member of God's family, that you are indeed a part of his kingdom. There's no controversy here. There's no question about that. No question about your being born into God's family, his community, and his kingdom. By your baptism into Jesus' death and resurrection, through the water and the word, the promise of the gospel in a nutshell, the promise of everlasting life belongs to you. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, and we'll continue by singing our next hymn, hymn 5.